Thank you, Joshua, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to services, and we have a little bit of what's to come out there. It's 93 degrees currently, and praise God for air conditioning because it's only about 70 in here. Today, I want to talk about Psalms 23. It's called the Shepherd Psalm. It is one of the most famous, beloved, quoted, memorized of all the Psalms. It is short, simple, but full of meaning. A common description of kingship in the ancient world was that of a shepherd. King David, unlike the rulers of other nations in his day, was actually served as a literal shepherd of sheep. And I'm sure all of you are familiar with that. It is interesting to recall that Moses was a shepherd who tended flocks for 40 years, you know, after his training and a military leader in Egypt. God used him to lead Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness. Now, the ultimate leader and king, therefore shepherd, and a shepherd is, of course, God. God in the person of Jesus Christ was later referred to as the Good Shepherd, and that's in John 10. Today, I would like to focus on the seven names of God that are mentioned in Psalm 23. Not literally in name, but in action. Now, I came across in my research of Psalms 23 many in-depth studies, and this one kind of piqued my interest because I hadn't heard of it before. And it was a sermon by Mr. Gary Antion, and also there's others who have researched this that you can find on the internet. But let's turn to Psalms 23 to begin. Psalms 23 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in the Hebrew, that would be Yahweh Raha, which is, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's spelled, Raha is spelled R-A-A-H. Now let's turn to John 10 and we'll read about the Good Shepherd, where it's described. Because unlike many of us, our names really, we weren't given our name because of it meant something special about us personally. It was maybe a family name or something that our parents liked the sound of. But for God, his names mean something special about him, about his character, about what he's like, about the very essence of God, and what he means to his people. John 10, in verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Verse 12, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." So God cares about his sheep or his flock, his people, you and I. Now let's look at another good shepherd. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. I talked about David being a shepherd before he was king of Israel. And if you remember the story of Samuel anointing David, they had to go find him. He was with the sheep somewhere out maybe miles away in some good pasture land that he had found for his sheep. But 1 Samuel 17, and in verse 32, then David said to Saul, you know, he had come to bring provisions for his brothers. And at this time, the army of Israel was gathered together and was being tormented by Goliath. And they were looking for one man to fight Goliath. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," talking about Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." So what a sight that must have been. And what a faithful person David had to be. And he really cared for his sheep. Now it says in verse 36, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So David cared about his sheep, and he explained that to Saul. And he cared about the people of Israel because this Goliath had defied God's people and God himself. And he was willing to stand up against this man. And this is an explanation of verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," because God cares for us and he will take care of us. Now the second name of God is mentioned in action in verse 2, where it says, let's turn back to Psalms 23 in verse 2, and it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters." Now the word Yahweh Yireh means in English, translated from the Hebrew, "the Lord that sees and provides." So God provides us with green pastures and still waters. Now, if you've had any knowledge of sheep, you know that you can't lead sheep to water by a rushing river. You know, they're not that well equipped to swim. And they're very gentle animals, and they need constant supervision, just like we do. Now let's read about this name of God explained in Genesis 22. So if you'd like to turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, we'll begin in verse 2, where it says, "Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now let's skip to verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So two of them went together. And because Isaac said, well, where is the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Because he didn't know what God had instructed his father. Now verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And if you look in the notes there on verse 14, you'll see that it's Yahweh, Yahweh Rapha, which is the Lord heals, mends, repairs, or excuse me, I'm on the wrong one here. Verse 14 is Yahweh Yireh, if you look in the notes, if you have a Bible that has that. And it means the Lord will provide. So it's one of God's names. Now let's turn to Philippians 4:19. Where God in action is explained here in the New Testament. And it says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ. So God is always there to supply our needs, whatever it is that we need, and spiritually speaking. So we can always rely on him just like Abraham did. Now the third name explained to us in the Psalms, in verse 2, it says, he leads me, which is Yahweh Nisi. He leads me, which means literally in the English, God as leader or banner or captain. And this is explained in Exodus 17. Now let's turn to Exodus 17. Where this name is mentioned. Exodus 17 and verse 11. And it says, and so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. And if you read in the notes for verse 15, it says in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh Nisi. The third name of God mentioned in the Psalms. Now let's turn, I'll read to you Isaiah 11, verse 10. You don't need to turn there. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And that is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. So God is our banner. He's our captain. He is our leader. Now the fourth name mentioned in the Psalms 23, verse 2, if you see the latter part of verse 2, it says, still waters in Psalms 23. Or that can be translated, still waters of rest. And that in the Hebrew would be Yahweh Shalom, or peace. Now that name is explained to us in Judges 6. Let's turn to Judges 6, where we can see that name in action and working for God's people. Judges 6, verse 23. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. And this is Gideon, who had just seen an angel. And it said to him, peace be with you, do not fear. You know, reminiscent of what Christ said to the apostles many times. You shall not die, because he saw what he thought was God or an angel. Now, verse 24, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still at Ophrah of the Ambizertines. Sorry if I butchered that. But the Lord is peace, and if you look in the notes, if you have a Bible that has that, on verse 24, it's the Lord is peace is translated from the Hebrew, Yahweh Shalom. So that's the fourth name mentioned in Scripture in Psalms 23. Now I'll read to you from John 14, verse 27, where it says, peace I leave with you, speaking of Christ, my peace I will give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it's the same as what God's inspired to be spoken in Judges 6, and in Psalms 23. And brethren, we always need to ask God for peace. We live in a violent world full of violent people, and we need God's protection, and we need peace in our life. Now, number 5. Let's turn to Psalms 23, verse 3. Back to Psalms 23. Where it says, he restores my soul. And that is, the Lord heals, or Yahweh Rapha. The Lord heals, mends, repairs, and restores. Now let's read about that, where it's explained to us. And Exodus 15. It says in verse 6, he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Eternal, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So God is our healer. And we know it says in 1 Peter 2, you don't need to turn there, familiar scripture, verse 24, who himself, speaking of Christ, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we have died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. And that is the fifth name mentioned in Psalms 23, fifth name of God. Now number six, continuing on in Psalms 23, verse 3. Where it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness, which is translated from the Hebrew, Yahweh Tsidkenu. The Lord is righteousness. Now we can see this explained in Jeremiah 23. So if you would turn to Jeremiah 23. In verse 6, it says, in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely now. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And if you look at the notes, if you have a Bible that has these notes of verse 6, it says, Yahweh Tsidkenu, spelled Tsidkenu. And in Matthew 6, another familiar scripture, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So it explains another character trait of God. He is our righteousness. It's not our righteousness we are to follow, which is some do, and Christ calls it self-righteousness, but God's righteousness is what we're to seek. Now, the seventh name in Psalms 23 is found in verse 4, where it says, for you are with me. And that's from the Hebrew, Yahweh Shammah. And that would be found in Ezekiel 48. So if you would turn to Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48 and verse 35, where it says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Which is the meaning, if you look in the notes, Yahweh Shema, which means the Lord is there, or the Lord is present. And also we find in Exodus 33, you don't need to turn there, where it says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up here, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So God is present. God goes with us. And this is one of his names, one of his characteristics. And we should be comforted by that, that God is always with us. And he is always present. And we should desire that, his presence, to be with us. Now let's turn to Matthew 28, verse 20, where this is further explained in the New Testament. Matthew 28, verse 20, and it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So God is always with us, especially when we're doing his work, obeying him, pleasing him. And he promises that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. Now let's go back to Psalms 23 and we'll read it in its entirety. And I could see why from reading Psalms 23, why so many people favor this psalm. It's very comforting. You know, it's very soothing. It's very reassuring. Very edifying. And there's many aspects to Psalms 23. If you were to study it, there's much deep meaning. Now, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.